Sid told me about the first time he ever heard about the Buka effect. It was in Somalia, he said, during the partially disastrous deployment of Colonel Alexander's sticky foam. The non-lethal technology experts who had accompanied the foam to Mogadishu were understandably down in the dumps that night, and the talk got round to what might be the holy grail of these exotic technologies. It was then that a Lieutenant Robert Ireland spoke of the Buka effect. It all began in the 1950s, Sid told me, when helicopters started falling out of the sky, just crashing for no apparent reason, and the pilots who survived couldn't explain it. They had just been flying around as normal, and then suddenly they felt nauseous and dizzy and debilitated, and they lost control of their helicopters and they went down. So a Dr. Buka was called in to solve the mystery. "What Dr. Buka found," said Sid, "was that the rotor blades were strobing the sunlight, and when it reached the approximation of human brainwave frequency, it was interfering with the brain's ability to send correct information to the rest of the body." As a result of Dr. Buka's findings, new safety measures were introduced, such as tinted glass and helmet visors and so on. "Believe me," said Sid Heal, "there are easier ways of doing sleep deprivation than going to all those great lengths. Barney music, flashing lights, sleep deprivation may be a part of it, but it's got to have some deeper hidden effect. My guess is that this is the Buka effect. My guess is that they're going for the amygdala." "Picture this," said Sid. "You're walking down a dark hallway, and a figure jumps out in front of you, and you scream and jump back, and all of a sudden you realize it's your wife. That's not two pieces of information," he said. "It's the same information being processed simultaneously by two different parts of the brain. The part where the judgment is takes 3 or 4 seconds, but the part that's reactionary, the amygdala, just takes a split second." The quest for seizing that amygdala moment, those crushing seconds of unbearable, incapacitating shock, seizing those moments and not letting them go, dragging them out for as long as is operationally necessary. That, said Sid, is the aim of the Buka effect. "It would be the ultimate non-lethal," he said. "So," I said, "the Barney strobe light musical torture inside a shipping container at the back of a railway station in Al Qaim may in fact be the ultimate non-lethal." "I don't know anyone that succeeded," said Sid. "The problem is that the threshold between it being effective and permanently disabling is so narrow, I..." Then Sid fell silent, I think because he realized that if he completed his sentence, it would take his mind to a place he didn't want to go, a place where soldiers in Iraq didn't actually care, like he cared, about that threshold.